Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Welcome, welcome to Bashani Radio App, heard worldwide and syndicated on every platform. This is the Get Your Business Right show with Michael Muse. You know who I am. I'm Mr. Broadcastpreneur, a.k.a. the Fearless Coach, because overcoming your fears is not an option. I'm excited. I'm delighted because I come across some of the most influential, powerful people who are making things happen. They're not talking about it. They're not wishing about it. They're not hoping about it. But these are people who have taken situations that happen in their life. As some people will say, they've taken the boo-boo and have made it sugar. One thing that's so crucial in this world of technology we live in, we have to understand how important social media is. And when we do know how important it is, it's about leveraging it and harnessing it for your benefit, to build relationships, for your benefit to monetize. And the reason why I bring that up, because this particular young man came straight from LinkedIn. Let me say it again. He came straight from LinkedIn. So when people say social media is a waste of time, when people say this and say that, you had to have a social, it's important. Especially at this day and time, you have to have social presence and you need to have social media relationships. People you don't have never seen in person, but you have shared, you have talked, and you have connected. And that's what it's all about. It's about connection. This young man connected me on LinkedIn. And once he shared his story with me, I was compelled. And so let me give you a quick snapshot. This brother right here has been in the military. He has started a business. He is making changes in this world. He is bettering people's lives around him. He is making money. He is utilizing his talents and gifts to make this world a better place. I want to introduce you to one and only Mr. Kenneth Carter III. How you doing, Kenneth?
Hey, Michael. I'm doing great. How are you?
Kenneth, I am fantastic and amazing, man. I am glad you are on today because it takes people, it's because of people like you. People like you who have made the decisions. People like you who have stood in the gap. It's people like you who are honest with yourself and you have not, will not, and did not let statistics, society, and anything else stop you for going after your dream, going after your vision, and going after making your life a better life and creating a legacy for your family. How about that?
I like that. That's exactly what happened.
Well, I want to jump right into it, man. When you was in high school, what, you know, you got into the military. What made you decide to get into the military?
My mom was actually in the military. She was in the Army, and she was a truck driver.
Okay, so your mom, huh?
Yeah, so hearing those stories really intrigued me.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. I usually say a lot of times when we do what our parents do, for instance. So I definitely, like I said, you heard the stories, and you say, hey, you heard the stories growing up, and you say, hey, it's time for you to experience it. And so what was it like when you first got in? No, I know they say if you first get in the military, of course, you get the boot camp and the 12-week program. How was your boot camp for you? What did you learn about you going through boot camp?
I learned that I wasn't as strong as I thought I was.
and you know, Ken, that's usually how it is, man. We want to do things in life, and we realize that we have a perception of who we are, and we have a perception of how strong we are until we put to the test. Am I right?
Exactly. Exactly right.
Yeah, so you say definitely you was put through the mental and physical test, huh?
Oh, man, yeah. And coming out of high school, I played football and ran track, so I'm thinking I'm in tip-top shape because I went right out of high school, and it broke me.
It broke you, man. How bad did they break you, Ken?
They broke me real bad. I mean, when I first got off the little bus, they put us on. My nails were too long. So they asked me, did I think I want to be a girl? And next thing you know, I'm running miles just because of that.
Oh, man. I say make you run miles just because of that. And so How long did you serve in the military?
I did 3 years.
You did 3 years. And so
yes, sir.
What was your decision on staying versus leaving? And why did you leave?
I guess at the time I didn't realize I was more of a leader and not a follower. I see that now. But I really didn't like the way I would have to move up in rank and maybe smarter or more educated than someone else, but they're above me because of time.
So actually, you knew what your potential was, and you knew based on the blueprint and the roadmap that was before you in the military, that you knew that you could do other things much quicker, much faster, especially since you knew you were already a born leader.
Yes, sir.
Exactly. I love it. And so you made that decision to leave. And what did you do when you first leave?
I started driving trucks.
Okay.
I continued and stayed with it.
So you was driving trucks in the military. You got out and said, hey, let me just go ahead. I already got the skill set. I already know how to drive, got the CDL, et cetera. Let me go ahead and keep it going, right?
Yeah, just keep it going. It was easy. You know, it was just I can just merge. I got my license converted from the military straight to a CDL. So day one, I'm ready to roll.
Well, that sounds like a winner right there. So you got out, you was making money, your life didn't flow. And then, like I said, you were able to control your future more so, even more so, because you're in a full driver's seat. You're not on a blueprint of sergeant, corporal, lieutenant, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I'm just my own man.
Just your own man, your own power. And so I know, as in life, we all come across snags. And what was the first big snag that you came across that really just started to change your life? What was your first big hurdle?
My first big hurdle was going to prison.
And what happened? What happened in that? What happened? What event took place for you to have to go there?
Well, you know, just like I said, being your own man, that's what actually hurt me in the long run, because now I don't have to answer to anyone. I'm an adult. I can make my own decisions. So I turned to partying more, hanging out, going to clubs, and from the clubbing and partying, started drinking 6 days a week. And then the drinking turned to trying cocaine. Someone told me to like help me out, balance out. Then from trying it, then I started selling it.
Man, wow. Sound like you truly went for a 180-degree turn.
The wrong way.
You know, going from, like I say, out of high school, into the military, driving, realizing that you wasn't reaching your full potential, and you got out and started driving. But, of course, being young, you want to, of course, experience life. And like I say, you want to have fun. Do what the majority of young people do. But you said once the drug you started, you got to the point you figured, hey, let me go ahead and sell it. And so what was that conversation like when yourself and you knew you were using, but you said, let me go ahead and say, what was that conversation you was having with yourself when that came about?
Well, it's funny because it was more of an entrepreneurial thought. At the time, I tried it once, and when I tried it one time, it was hard to get it again. And that's what I said. Well, you know, if it's this hard to get and if it's this addictive, then I can sell it and be more accessible to people. And so the conversation was more like, this is something you can do to make money. I was oblivious to the consequences at the time.
Wow. So like you say, you had an entrepreneur mindset. You say, hey, I saw the effect on me. You figure, hey, you can go ahead and make money. Now, were you still using when you were selling also?
I think that's the cycle, the bad cycle. Yes.
as the old, what's the old mantra? Don't get high off your own supply,
your
right?
Own supply. But I justified it in my mind that I needed to stay up to help make more money. So it was just negative thoughts.
And so let me ask you a question. When you were having those negative thoughts, who were you hanging around?
People that had the same negative thoughts.
And so let's talk about that. So here it is. You're using and selling, and you're definitely selling with an option of mind and say, hey, that you're going to stay ahead of the game. And you didn't think, well, for a reason, like you said, you didn't think the consequences would catch up with you. At what point in time did you actually, before you actually got caught, did you see it coming, or was it a surprise to you?
It was a surprise because I stopped. I stopped selling. I continued to work my full-time corporate job as a regional manager. So I had all the perks, company car, own office. And the problem was I still had the people that was negative in my circle. So even though I changed my environment, I didn't change the people.
Okay, so I want to get this straight, get this real straight for the people. Here it is, you're working a good job, right?
Right.
Working a good job, perks, everything. But you used drugs and sold drugs, but you stopped selling drugs because you did see how that was going to potentially hurt you. But the fact you was around the negative people, you got caught up in a situation that you didn't want to get caught up in.
Right. I end up getting a call from someone, and multiple times I told them no. I mean, numerous times, no, no, no. And I finally said, okay, I'll do it. And when I did it, it was somebody I knew from my past that I wouldn't call it the past because I was still interacting with them. But I told him, yeah. And so I sold an ounce to him. About a couple months later, he called me again. Hey, can you do it? And I told him, no, I'm not doing that anymore. And once again, I gave in and I said, yes. This time he didn't show up, an undercover showed up. And so I end up selling to an undercover cop.
Oh, man. So even the fact you knew it wasn't him, the fact it was about making that quick money right then.
Yep, that was the only motivation which stopped my thinking.
So let's take it into the courtroom now. They've arrested you, being sentenced. What was that process going through your mind during that time?
It wasn't real. I was out on bond for a year and a half, so it wasn't real to me. I was still going to work, and I wasn't taking it serious. I figured that my past would hold enough weight to get me out of the situation.
Okay, just the fact military and everything you had done up to that point in time that, hey, you'll be okay, and you can get past this, maybe just a little probation, whatever, and call it a day, huh?
Right.
And then, like I said, of course, when the gavel was dropped and it did give you time, how much time did they give you, and what was your reaction at that time? Like you said, you was oblivious to it. You was all out on bond, and you didn't think it was going to be as serious as it was. So what was going through your mind at the time when that gavel was dropped? You were told you were guilty, and they gave you the actual time. How much time did they give you, and what were you going through mentally at that point?
So they gave me 3 years on a plea deal. Otherwise, I would face trial and face 90 years. So, of course, I took that plea deal quickly. When I was actually sentenced, I wasn't even thinking. That was the whole process. In the whole 5 years I was doing it, I was never thinking. I was just kind of reacting to everything in life. So it was not even a shock to me.
So like you said, up until that time, you had just really been living a reactionary lifestyle, so to speak. Just reacting to what was going on around you.
Right. It was everything came easy in my mind. Everything came easy. Good jobs was easy. Going to the military was easy. So anything I did, I was like, well, you know what? I can do this easy. I could sell drugs for X amount of time and stop and then go get a good job again because everything was so easy. But that gavel drop showed me that everything is not going to be easy as you thought it was.
And so when they drop the gavel and tell you how much time you have, did it still sink in?
No. I saw my girlfriend, my mom, my sister, people crying, going crazy, and it still didn't sink in.
So when did it sink in for you?
About three or four months in, when I looked into this mirror and I actually had to see myself and say, you know what, you're in prison. And that's when that embarrassment came over.
So you said for you, it took about 3-4 months being in for it to really set in and, hey, hold on, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm not going to work. I'm not making money. And so what was that process for that 3 months? Because I know a lot of times for a lot of people, you know, the realization hit when that gavel hit. But like for you, it didn't hit right then. It hit after being in. Were there any situations or any instances that took place in those first 3 months that really changed your mindset around?
Yeah. So I was moving real fast, just like I was on the outside, you know, just kind of fitting in, playing cards, playing games all day. And I sat back and I had to wait for a game because I lost the game. I had to wait for the next round. So I guess the real Kenny came back around and I started to be aware of my surroundings. And I noticed all we were doing is just waiting for the next game. And I said, you know what? When I get out of this place, what am I going to do? Play cards for the rest of my life?
Yeah.
You know.
So for you, that was really the start for you to realize, hey, hold on, let me set my life on a whole new trajectory. Am I right?
Yes.
And yes. So what were some of the books you were, is there any books you were reading during that time that influenced you or people you listened to that influenced? What was some of the first things you started to do to reshape your mindset?
First, I had to write down everything that was wrong with me, every single weakness and every strength. And one side of the paper was strength. The other side of the paper was weaknesses. I filled up strengths real quick. But that's how we are. We could tell we don't want to look bad, especially to ourselves.
Exactly.
And when it's time for weaknesses, that was the toughest thing I had to do.
Michael Jackson said, man, you have to look at the man in the mirror.
Yes, and definitely.
And a lot of times, I'm going to say, especially men, you know, we don't, like you said, we let our ego dictate our behavior and action. And we let our ego take place. When we let our ego dictate, we're going to always fall short. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because until we come to a realization of our manhood and I'm being a man as a whole, you know, we put ourselves in a detrimental situation. And so did you even change some of your relationships when you was in there? And then what were there any books you were reading? What was some of the things you started to do to not have to wait for the next game?
Yeah. So I immediately signed up for the library. I went to the library and I looked for every self-help book there was. And I read every single self-help book. That was first. Identifying my strengths, identifying my weaknesses, taking 2 to 3 weeks to come up with my weakness list. But I had to take that objective view. I had to look outside of my body and see. I had to play out every situation that I was in before. And I actually did it at the time and see how I really was, not from my point of view, but from others' point of view. And I was arrogant. I had no empathy. There's no sympathy. It was all about me. And even though I was helping people, you know, financially and with drugs, I didn't really care about the people in a sense. It was all about the main goal of getting money.
Yeah, man, that's amazing. So, I mean, you know, that you kind of had to go through that self-discovery stage. And any particular books you were reading, any authors that really caught your mind and you kind of gravitated to?
Yeah, so Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, that was a good one because it started to talk about the mind and how everything starts from the mind. And then Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, that was a good one because that one helped me see where I needed balance at in life.
Man, that is awesome, man. You really set yourself up. And I'm sure, like you say, you got on a disciplined journey path of doing that to reshape your thinking each day. So you didn't have to wait for your next turn for the game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the games were over and there's no more. I didn't play cards after that day.
Wow.
It was too easy. That was the easy thing to do. So I started working on my weaknesses. And every day, each weakness that I had, my number one top weakness was assertiveness. I would try to please people and I wouldn't say no, even if it would hurt me. So I had to really work on that. And being in prison, that's a hard place to work on assertiveness.
Exactly. And man, so here, let's fast forward. Now here it is. You're about to be released. Let's say the last 30 to 60 days in. What was your roadmap? When you knew you only had 30 to 60 days to go. What was your mindset at? And what was your plan moving forward?
Well, my mindset, I was running out of time. I didn't have the typical thought of hurry up, it's only 60 days left. I was like, oh man, I only have 60 days left. So this whole time, once I found myself and understood what I wanted to do in life, and it was to build a business, the problem was I didn't have enough time to continue building that because I knew when I got out, everything started time to roll. So I built all the systems and business plans, and I even made cold calls, sales calls while in work release. They gave us a cell phone. I wasn't ready to look on social media and play around. I was about to make calls and call people to see if they need some services, even though I didn't have the business yet.
And what type of service? So at that point in time, what type of service was you trying to sell?
Freight broker.
So for the people out there who don't know what a freight broker is, kind of give a quick description of what a freight broker is.
Yeah, so you got a store that has to ship things out, and they'll come to the broker and ask them to find the trucks for them. So we work relationships with the companies or the stores who need things shipped, and we also work the relationship with the trucking companies or carriers who want to move it.
Wow. So here it is. You get released. You drafted your master plan. You drafted the business plan. And even before you even get anything officially on ink, far as being incorporated in business and everything, you was doing the work.
I was doing the work.
You put the work in. And what made you decide to pick freight brokering?
It was a way to build relationships with both ends. I was already in the trucking industry. And unfortunately, I was already some type of middleman, just in the wrong field.
Exactly. Hey, you just went from one end of the spectrum to the other end, and like I say, and thing is, you know how to build relationships on both sides.
Exactly. So let's turn this to a lucrative business.
Exactly, and that was a smart thing to do, and so. As you're starting this process, what were some of the things you had to learn about you during that process?
I had to learn that money isn't everything. Because that's what I got in there for. I learned that I can't please everyone. Because everybody that I was pleasing before I went in, they all disappeared. So those two things were really my core. And learn how to say no. And learn when an opportunity is a real opportunity and when it's just something that's flashy.
Exactly. I'm glad you said that. Knowing the difference between a real opportunity versus something that's flashy. And I think you've seen now there's so much flash out here. How you can make, come over here and you can make $5,000 in a month's time. We have your $5,000 a month, whatever it is, but it's, so during this time, now in business, did you have someone in business who you were able to lean on for advice, mentorship, or et cetera?
No.
So You just, hey, so like I say, you had to grind this out. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, Ken had to grind this out on his own. That means all the mistakes, all the pitfalls, you had to figure it out for yourself.
Yes, you know, that's the thing about getting sent away is you're all by yourself now, which is what I needed. I needed to remove the money, the flashiness in any situation that made me seem like I was on top. That had to be removed so I can understand who I was at the core.
Exactly. And that's powerful right there, Ken. I mean, you really, one thing I'm loving about your story is that to each step, what's really taking precedence, what I'm seeing here is that it's that self-discovery. From the start, when you was listening to your mom's stories in the Army, and you wanting to go in the Army and do what she did, and realizing that even when you having that self-reflectory again and realize being in the Army that you can do even more quicker, faster, and having more control over your destiny, and then actually working and even decided to sell narcotics. That was still a vision. You saw it doing more for you, even though at the time you wasn't really thinking about the consequence. But to get this point here, man, it's powerful to see that self-reflection time has been so critical for you to really start shaping not just who you are, but your manhood, and now shaping your business. Let's talk about your business now. So now you're doing freight broker. Give us an idea what you're doing with your freight broker now. Cause I know when did you start your business and how you're doing with it? And then do you have any people working with you? And let's know.
Yeah. So, I've been in business for a year and a half. It's me and my fiance, we work the business. I hire people, and I only hire people without the experience. I hire people that's been through situations like myself, prison, or, you know, they haven't had the opportunities before, because I know how hard it is being that person now. And like I said, I refuse to come out of prison and check a felony box. And they tell me, even though I'm qualified because of my past, I won't be able to get that job. So I look for people like that. So now I hire people that want the opportunity, they're motivated, but they don't have the experience. Because I always say, like, how can you get the experience if you don't get the experience?
Exactly.
It doesn't make sense. And I refuse to let people lose their drive, their hope, because no one gave them a chance. And so that's what I'm here for.
And you know what, Ken, that's you know, you are a true example of a social conscious entrepreneur and capitalist, that you understand that money is important, but you also understand that it's important to make sure you're important to other people also. And to use your business, not just for monetary gain, but to allow someone to have opportunity to better their life, man, is a powerful thing right there.
Thank you.
And, you know, we're getting close to the end of the show, but I really want you to just share your last comment, statement, something that you really want to share with the audience on from where you've been and what you would share with them right now so they can get a taste and feel of who you are. And also what they can do to better themselves also. So you got it. Take the floor.
Appreciate that. So I really want to say that to get somewhere in life, you got to have a vision. And that's where I failed at. I failed to have a vision. I didn't go to prison for selling drugs. I went to prison for not having a vision. And that ended up being a dead end road. So you need to put it in your mind and say, you know what? I can do this and I will do this. Because that's how it starts. And when you start to believe in yourself, others will believe in you as well. With that being said, start today. Don't let money, don't let crazy ideas stop you from trying to pursue your dreams. Because the second you start thinking, well, I can't afford this, is the second you stop thinking.
Exactly. Now,
I had no money. I had nothing when I came up with this business. And there was no way I could have money. But that did not stop me. So you remove the people from your life that are not saying, they're not helping you, and that think your dream's a joke. And you stop thinking about money and how you got to work it and start it and just start building.
That's right. And I can imagine now you have a whole new group of friends. And I'm sure you have people who you look up to in business, who you could maybe make a phone call, colleagues, people do the same or whatever. And like you say, one thing I've picked up on is you understand the importance of building relationships. And ladies and gentlemen, that's why we're here right now, because Kenneth reached out to me on LinkedIn. And I think that's critical for people to realize we have to build relationships, because relationships is the real capital. When you agree, Ken, I mean, if you got all the money in the world, but if you don't have anyone who is there to help you to grow it, anyone there to help to share wealth, you know, it's important to us to really be in that position to have an impact in this world we live in. And you truly are making an impact. And I'm proud of you for taking the bold steps you've taken. I'm proud of you for not being a statistic. You know, we all fall into a trap. You know, we've all done things we're not proud of. But the thing is, you took it on, faced it on, and you took on your weakness like a lion. And you made sure that who you are, that your weakness was not going to be the detriment of your vision and your future. So I just want to thank you so much, Ken, for coming on, because it takes people like you sharing your story for people to realize, no matter how rough it gets, how tough it gets, that they can overcome, they can succeed. And then I just want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing your powerful story. And I know, ladies and gentlemen, I just want you to know, we're thankful for people like Ken. It's people like Ken are making an impact in this world we're living in. He's changing lives, you know, and so we all had to make that decision for ourselves. And that's the reason why the Get Your Business Right show is so important, because we're helping people build the right relationships, get into the right environment, and how to make the right power moves. And Ken has definitely been doing those three things there. And you know who I am. I'm Michael Muse. I'm the Mr. Broadcastpreneur, aka the Fearless Coach, because overcoming your fears is not an option. We are here on the Bashani Radio app. We're coming straight from New York City, where we always talk about everything. I thank you all for listening today. I love you. God loves you. There's nothing you could do. There's nothing you could do about it. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.